Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. We've been, if you remember the last time we preached, which is two Sundays ago, we kind of had a move of God and Pastor didn't preach, and last Sunday we kind of had a move of snow and Pastor didn't preach. There is a major difference. Last time we were here, we talked about the body, rejoicing when one rejoices, crying when one cries, identify with people, identify with what people's going through. Today we're going to continue on the body of Christ. Maybe in a little different vein, but there's no one sitting here now who knows Jesus Christ who can look somebody in the eye and say, I'm not important or you're not important. You see, America loves to have superstars. And in the church, they think there's superstars. There's these men and these women doing such and such and doing this and that. Jesus is the only superstar we have. Honor people, respect people, love people, but don't elevate them above where they need to be because that destroys people. Love the way you're shouting. The main one you listen to in the body of Christ is what the Holy Spirit's saying. Don't condone things that aren't scriptural. Hello? Did everybody leave during coffee time? Don't condone things that aren't scriptural. You're not going to get anywhere by telling somebody they're okay with God when they're not. You may say, whoa, wait a minute. No, let's be honest. You'll see today that the main thing in people's lives is to be conformed to the image of Christ. You know, out of Pensacola came, what would Jesus do? I got a new one for you. As you're thinking about doing something, ask yourself this question, would Jesus do it? If Jesus wouldn't do it and wouldn't live that way, why should I? Okay, say it. Pastor fearing, I love you most of the time. So here's where we're going. The head of the body of Christ is Jesus. And we need to emulate what the head would do. Not just do our own thing, not just walk it our own way. As parents, you need to walk that life out so that the kids, your children, respect you. Because if they don't respect you, who they see, they'll never expect you, respect Jesus, who they can't see. And so we need to love our children, we need to love our wives, we need to love our husbands. We need to identify with a Jesus attitude in how we're living. And so God had a plan. He says, I'm going to put leadership in the church. I had somebody come in one day and say, well, Pastor, I've decided to be a pastor. And I said, don't. And they looked at me and said, well, what do you mean? They never came back to church. I said, if God hasn't called you and you can do something else, go do it. Is that okay, Don? Pastoring and being an apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, or pastor is not about getting in front of people. It's about working with them. It's about ministering to them. It's about touching them. It's about comforting them. It's about crying with them, laughing with them, being beat up by them. I sat with somebody the other day and they looked at me and said, "Pastor, when I get mad at you, it's just I'm mad at other things. So don't take it personal." Oh, sure. And so here we go, as soon as I catch my glasses. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, say whole body with me.
Whole body.
How many of you are part of the body?
Yes.
Okay. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Did you ever work with somebody that didn't do their share? Did they survive or did you quit? Why, every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 2, that we are being built up into a holy temple for the habitation of God in the Spirit. Look at me. There are no lone rangers in the body of Christ. Might need a few Tontos. But there's no lone rangers. We're all built together. It doesn't matter where you live, what race you are, what's happening in your life. We're not independent. We're interdependent. We function with one another. And as this body is being built, this body represents Jesus Christ. And we're called to glorify him. That's why Paul can write in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the perfect and acceptable will of God." There's something the Church of Jesus Christ has to learn, and we need to learn this, is that we need one another. Not that I can do my own thing, live my own life, feel the way I want to, act the way I want to. We need to come together with one another. Now, I want to tell you something. I read this morning because I wanted to see what it said at the Tower of Babel. Because the church has so much disunity, I don't know if we'd know recognize unity if it came. God looked down at Babel and said, because these people are one and have one language, there's nothing impossible for them. Do you get that? Nothing impossible. They can do anything. Now think for a moment, if we get united together in the head, our head, Jesus Christ, lay down Dwight's selfish attitude, lay down what Dwight wants to see, and come to a place of seeing what God is doing and what God wants to see, and we come together as one, there's nothing impossible. Nothing. Turn with me for a moment. We're just touching on Ephesians 4 right now to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Talks about God being, Christ being the cornerstone, and then it says something to us. Coming to him, Jesus, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as lively or living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You're designed spiritually to praise God. The Holy Spirit has designed you to come into a place, whatever it is, walking in your own atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, and praise God and minister to people. That's why he gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping preparation of the saints and for the work of the ministry. Somebody once said the church is no longer standing on the promises, they're just sitting on the premises. I'm not being mean. But people walk into churches every Sunday and they're asking, why is nothing happening here? They've never looked in the mirror. They've never taken time to realize that the pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, and epistle, that's the wife of the apostles. Maybe that was, we were called to do something with you so that you carry on the ministry of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? You know, there are people in church this morning all over the world, especially in America, who's never led one person to Christ, who's never prayed with anybody to get healed. And the church can't function that way. People say, well, I want a large church. And I ask them why, because it's easier to hide there. If you have a church of 5,000 with 100 pastors, most likely you have 100 people doing the work. Are we okay? You know, God doesn't want you to get involved because you're just forced to get involved. He wants you to get involved because you love people and you can touch people and you can minister to people and you can bring people into the body. He's not sitting up there with a big whip saying, okay, do something, do something. No, he's saying, I want you to feel like you want to do something. I want you to step in. Where's the miracles of God? They're still in your hands. You missed a good time to say amen. You really did. They're laid before you to minister with the pastoral team, with the people that are doing it, so that you get caught up in doing the service of Jesus Christ. So God sends an apostle. What's an apostle? Probably, if we were going to look at apostles today, we'd probably call them missionaries. They go out and start works. What's an apostle? I mean, what's a prophet? A prophet is one who speaks warning to the church, edifies and encourages the church, but lets it know when it's getting off path because they have revelation from God to speak. It's not a person who has a gift of prophecy. That's not the same as a prophet. A prophet is one who is led by God and sees lukewarmness in the church and says, something's wrong here. Most times you don't want a prophet in the church. And the church for years has been a non-profit organization. They got their 501c3 spiritual. An evangelist goes, encourages the church to reach people and reaches people himself. A teacher is anointed by God to share the word of God, break it down so that it's not like pastor preaching that you understand something. And then a pastor just feeds you the bottle and burps you. Hello. Friends, there's a mission field out there. And God chose, not people, God chose to reach the world through his church. Through his body. Now, if we have 20 churches in Sisseton and each church has a staff of two, that's 40 people that's going to try to reach in the surrounding area 10,000 people. It doesn't happen. But if we have 1,000 people trying to reach 10,000 people or 2,000 people trying to reach 10,000 people, that's a great possibility. You have been equipped through the word of God, not to back up, not to hesitate, but to be led by the Spirit and step right in where God wants you to be. Now listen to me. It's not about results. I hate to say that because I love to see results. Anybody with me? It's about faithfulness. If you're looking at the results, you can get discouraged in a heartbeat. You can back away. You can look at that thing and look at those people and say, man, if I step in there, I could get hurt. But if you realize it's the Holy Spirit's job through Jesus Christ to bring the results. You know, there are people that have labored and labored and labored and labored and labored and haven't seen nothing. And then somebody comes in and follows you and you've planted the seed. You've watered the seed. God gives an increase. I went to a town in Virginia, in northern Minnesota called Virginia. Pastored there for almost 10 years. When I went there, I went to a fellowship meeting. People were meeting there and somebody came up to me and said, don't you realize something? And I was just out of Bible school. Judy and I were just out of Bible school. Don't you realize Billy Sunday said the people's hearts are just as hard as the iron ore in the ground on the iron range. I thought, boy, that's encouraging. But you know something? I was too dumb to realize that nothing was happening. And I was too dumb to realize that pretty soon we needed a new church. So we built a new church between Eveleth and Midway, Minnesota. Eveleth and Virginia in Midway, Minnesota. And saw the church fill. And saw people keep getting saved and coming to church. And it's still going. Don't call something impossible that God says is possible. Don't call something barren that God is bringing life to. Come to a place of realizing that your faithfulness and my faithfulness and the church coming together with a vision and with a purpose can change people's hearts through the Holy Spirit. And one thing I've learned in Sisseton, it doesn't matter what church they go to as long as they're being fed the gospel. You know, sure, I'd like to have a church of 15,000, but there's only 3,000 people around me. So I got to import people from New Mexico. All three of them. Three people that don't realize it's time to come north in the summer. Amen. Amen. They're just like me. I go north in the winter and south in the summer. It doesn't make sense, but that's how we do it. Equipping for the ministry. You're being equipped to walk with. Walk with. Say walk with.
Walk with.
Say I'm going to walk with. You're being equipped to walk with the leadership of this church and other churches to reach this community and your community for Jesus Christ. It's not we and them, it's us. It's us coming together as one body, realizing that together we can change the community through Jesus Christ, and we can see natives and whites and everyone come to Jesus.
Amen.
Even the Filipinos.
Amen.
Right, Jinky? Amen. We can see him come to Christ. It's not impossible. What do you know that's too hard for God? What do you know that God can't do? The only thing God cannot do is go back on his word. I want you to remember this. I didn't think of this. I read it in a book and I heard Kirk talk about it. Graham Cook said this: with every problem you face, God has a promise and a provision right next to it. With every problem, not just some problems, whatever you're facing, God has a promise and a provision, and he's going to meet it. Don't give up. Walk it out. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry till we all come to the unity of the faith. There's one thing that you have in common with every believer, with every Christian, and that is Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You know something? You know what I found out? I found out other churches aren't my enemy. Isn't that great? After 40-some years of ministry, hey, I can be friends with other pastors. We met with other pastors for dinner the other Tuesday, was it? Yeah, sure. My first question, why didn't you help me shovel out? No, I didn't. We met, and I called Pizza Hut, and I said, let's have a table of six. We had to move. Pastors are hungry to get together with other leaders. There's hope. You know, I was sitting with some people the other night, and they were saying, well, God's judgment is coming. God's judgment is coming. I said, I'd like to believe what Reinhard Bonnke said. Reinhard Bonnke got off a plane in Veracruz, Florida, I believe it is. Now, keep in mind, I mean, he's not much of a man of God. He's only led 55 million people to Jesus. Come on. 55 million! That's almost as big as South Dakota. No. And he got off the plane and he said this, and I'm taking hold of it. He said God spoke to him about going to Africa and he'd see the country changed. God spoke to him and said, I did 55 million in Africa. I can bring a revival that all people get saved in America. Can you believe that? So how many here are going to be the first ones to get saved? Amen. Why not? You know, everybody's talking judgment, 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 and I believe it's coming someday. But let's step into grace right now. Let's step into mercy right now. Let's step into loving one another right now. Let's step into rescuing the perishing and care for the dying. Let's reach into coming to a place where, yeah, I know judgment's coming. I'm in the book of Revelation in my daily devotions, and sometimes it scares the spit right out of me. Not for me, but for my family, for my grandkids, for those that are being born. But let's get into revival. Let's get into a move of God. Let's get into God is greater than all the sin in Sisseton. God is greater than all the things going on. Is your God that big?
Yes.
Come on. We can do it through Christ. That verse is still in there. I can do all things through Christ. Who what? Gives me the strength. Can I tell you something? There's no weakness in God. And God's not looking at Roberts County and saying, man, I wish I'd have known they were going to be that wicked. Hello? Thank you. I'm going to take a vote pretty soon. I better not. I'll be out without a job. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect, mature person. I'm going to stop in with this verse, but we'll continue on next week if the Lord wills. Till we all come to unity. What is lacking in the body of Christ that we can't come together? What is lacking in the body of Christ that my differences in interpretation and differences in doctrine, as long as we believe in Christ, is keeping me from fellowshipping with other people? You even get gathered with the relatives you don't like at Christmas. You don't have any choice. Grandpa and uncle's coming over. Oh, man, hide the... Well... We're Christians. They may have a different view of things, but if we have the same view of Jesus Christ, they're our brothers and sisters. I've never been so impassioned about this in my life. Never been there before. But something is stirring, as Pastor Kirk was saying. Something's going on. And if we don't want to jump on board to what God is doing, we're not going to have our own little personal revival. You're not going to get a segment in heaven where you think the Baptists and the Pentecostals and the Charismatics didn't get there and you're the only group. It's not going to happen. The Bible says something very plain, and I've just read it in the last week. If I can't love the brothers and sisters that I can see, how can I love God who I don't see? It doesn't mean I have to agree with every doctrine. It just simply means I don't need to be disagreeable. Hello? Are we okay? Someday, and I got all kinds of lessons on the end times that I just put on the shelf for a while simply for the fact I don't want you sitting on the chair waiting for the trumpet to sound. I want you out there working, and you won't worry about when the trumpet sounds. I believe in the rapture. I believe in the tribulation. I believe in the millennium reign of Christ. I believe in all this stuff. It's all going to happen. But we have a commission from our Heavenly Father to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our commission. We have a commission from God to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse a leper. We've been commissioned. We've never been commissioned to sit in a chair and put our feet up and wait for God to come. He's coming when that very last person is born again.
Amen.
The fact is, 2 Peter tells us to hasten that by being busy for Jesus. Don't have to wear yourself out. When you're led by the Spirit, you don't burn out. It's when I try to do more than the Spirit has told me to do that I burn out. God's body. Do you understand something? And I'm going to close. I could. You got another couple hours? Do you understand something? There's no big and little churches in the kingdom of God. There's none. There's just God's body. We're just the body of Christ meeting in this building. The assembly of God is God's body being there. The Baptist church is God's body being there. The CMA is God's body being there. It's not about how many people we got. We got to get out of the book of Numbers and get in the book of Acts.
I agree.
Praise God. And you're it. You have been commissioned by God to do the work of the ministry. And you're going to see results. They may not be on our timetable. There will be results. These signs shall what? Follow those who believe. Now, if you have to tear that last page of Mark out of your Bible, put it back in. Well, this is not in some manuscripts. It's okay. It's in mine. I'm going to take it. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They're going to cast out devils. They're going to heal the sick. I'm going to add something. They're going to raise the dead, Jesus said. Whether that dead is spiritual or physically, we're going to raise them. That would have been amazing yesterday if that box where this guy was cremated in started to shake and rattle and roll. Kirk would have been saying, reckon where we want a door. Praise God. God is real. And say this with me, and I'm done. Say, God is for me. God's not have a grudge against you. God isn't angry with you. God is just saying, I wanted you to hear this today because I want to encourage you. I want to comfort you. I want to strengthen you. I want you to know that I've never abandoned you. I never left you. I've never called you on some place on a desert island to die. I've called you to bring life. It may be on your job. It may be in a church. It may be somewhere else. God may lead you some other area. That's fine. But I found something out. Every time I wanted to go to another area, it's like the Lord says, be obedient where I put you. Why should I take you to another area where you're going to be disobedient? Hello? Do what God has for you to do where you are, and He'll raise up. He'll move you. He'll take you where He wants you. You're in the place you are because He's preparing you for better things to come. Amen?